Now it's time to turn it up. Surf the radio waves as we begin to burn it up. We all up in your area like landscape. Definitely bringing you the power slamming pancakes. It's the mandate that you tune in. It's time to move out so we can move in. And recognize that this is no illusion. I'm here to clear the air so that there is no confusion. It all started off in the book of Genesis, when Jacob was wrestling with who he thought was his nemesis. And when the man saw he couldn't overpower him, he touched his hip, but he really could have devoured him. And from that point, then we hear a name change. Rearrange the game, so now we gotta change. So I'm here to let you know it's time to listen to the Pancake and Power Slam Show. Let's go! Turn it up, turn it up. It's the Pancake and Power Slam. Turn it up, turn it up. It's the Pancake and Power Slam. Turn it up, turn it up. It's the Pancake and Power Slam Show. Turn it up, turn it up. It's the Pancake and Power Slam. Turn it up, turn it up. It's the Pancake and Power Slam. Turn it up, turn it up. It's the Pancake and Power Slam Show. Turn it up.
Indeed, indeed, indeed. It is the Pancakes and Power Slam Show. Tuesday Night Delight. We are here, the hottest radio show on Tuesday nights. Pancakes and Power Slams, episode 98. We are 98 strong. Can you believe it, Derek?
I can't believe it. This is 98 strong. Pancakes and Power Slams, Tuesday night. Tuesday Night Titans, like we referenced not too long ago. Tuesday Night Delight.
Oh, yeah.
Great Chris Featherstone. Hey, when somebody says 1998 wrestling, what pops into your mind? What would you describe it as?
Monday Night Wars at its finest. Still the NWO era. At that point in time, you had your Austin versus McMahon. WrestleMania 14, which was Austin?
Phenomenal.
Austin versus Rock. Well, Austin Michaels, right?
Yeah, it was Austin versus Michael, and of course you had DX on the outside. Mike Tyson was the special. He was the outside enforcer. That's what they called him.
Yes.
So.
The baddest.
But I mean, that was so
planet.
Hyped. That was probably one of the best hyped WrestleManias. I mean, they just put so much into it. That made headlines everywhere. It made wrestling that much more awesome.
Yeah,
way to go,
totally
WWF.
Agree. I totally agree. It was one of the best crossover WrestleManias that the whole WrestleMania series ever had, because I would say, you know, as tough as it is to say this, I would say that 11, was it 11 with the LT and Bam Bam?
Yeah,
that was 11, right?
Yeah, that was 11.
But it was a crossover WrestleMania, because LT, you know, big football player, you know, main event. That was probably, no, there's no probably. That was the worst WrestleMania main event of all time. And I guess we're giving us, I guess we're kind of spoiling, because, of course, we said before, we're going through the whole gamut of WrestleManias. Today, Flavor of the Week, WrestleMania 5 and 6. We've already talked about 1 through 4 of the previous weeks. If you'd like to hear that, subscribe on iTunes, or check out the archive episodes on the Retro Wednesday link on WrestlingInc.com. Check that out. Or, like I said, subscribe to iTunes or inquire, CraveWrestling@gmail.com. What episode do you want to listen to? I'll send you a link via email, whatever episode you like. 1 through 98. You got, after tonight, you'll have 98 to choose from. So just it's an amazing that we've been around for 98 episodes. I'm just so grateful, so honored that we are 98 strong. And in 1998, again, Nitro versus Raw. I mean, you loved to be a wrestling fan in 1998. And it was just a, Absolutely.
I was a Raw
I was more of a Nitro guy because
I was a Raw guy.
I was a big fan of Goldberg, and by the way, that was the first year that Bill Goldberg won his. That was the year that Goldberg won his WCW title, defeating Hulk Hogan, Hollywood Hogan on a live Nitro, which many people still say that was probably one of the worst business decisions in WCW history. That you decide to have such a magnanimous, monumental match between Goldberg and Hollywood Hogan be aired on free TV in the title change. But, I mean, it was in Atlanta. That's Goldberg's hometown. I understand that Eric Bischoff wanted to just choke the life out of Raw. And for a year and a half, he did that. I think it was 82, 84 straight weeks. He defeated Raw was not able to defeat Nitro in the Monday Night Wars. I mean, that's still an amazing feat for a year and a half to defeat Raw, who, you know, started 2 years before Nitro. So he was the juggernaut of Monday Night Wars for a while, WCW, Eric Bischoff. And he tried to do the best he can. He tried to do everything in his power to defeat. He tried to defeat Raw more than defeat the WWE. And I think that was probably where he went wrong, because he was so headstrong on defeating Raw that he kind of lost the big direction and has to be the legitimate number one company in all of professional wrestling. And so having free TV, WCW World Heavyweight Championship matches, we were teenagers back then, and it was great for us because we didn't have the money to pay for pay-per-view, but at the same time...
Well, it's not like they always did it. They didn't do it all the time. It was just,
true.
Once in a lifetime. If you happen to be watching it, great. If not, then you heard about it the next day or whatever, so...
Yeah, and it was enticing, that decision. I'm still on the fence about it. I mean, from a business standpoint, I definitely don't think it was a good business move. But as a fan back in 1998, as an avid WCW and WWE fan back in 1998, I thought it was amazing. I was surprised, like, whoa, and I was in high school at that time, and I was like, you got to be kidding me. I'm going to witness a WCW heavyweight championship match on free TV between Goldberg and Hollywood Hogan. Wow. It wasn't really a build to it at all either. It was just, it just happened, really. And for Goldberg to win it, it was still, I would say, this probably the biggest moment in Goldberg's wrestling career. And it was probably one of the biggest ovations in pro wrestling history, hometown crowd winning the WCW World Heavyweight Championship. So it was great. 1998, there you go. Great year of wrestling. And we are 98 episodes in, 98 strong. And without further ado, ladies and gentlemen, the big announcement, the major announcement that I'd like to have, I'll probably say it one more time, or two more times, or three more times throughout the show. Two more weeks, Crave Wrestling fans. 2 more weeks, episode 100. Of course, we got a roundtable. We've got Stomp the Host. We got so many fun things in store. And I'd like to make a major announcement. The newest member of the Pancakes and Power Slams interview series. We've had Onyx, we've had Caprice Coleman, we've had Elijah Burke, we've had Crimson. And the newest member of the Pancakes and Power Slams interview series, he will make his presence known in episode 100, none other than Tyler Rex. Ladies and gentlemen, Tyler Rex will be on episode 100, and he's very excited to be a part of Pancakes and Power Slams episode 100. And many people know there's still burning questions out there of why did you quit the WWE? It seemed like he had at one point in time, he had a big, big push. He actually was a member of Team SmackDown, and when he came to SmackDown, a big push, and had a team with Curt Hawkins that kind of had some up and downs, but he abruptly quit, and many people are wondering what made that decision, and we got to chatting, and he's looking forward to answering questions that many people are still inquiring. So tell your friends, tell your neighbors, tell everyone you know who likes wrestling. Tyler Rex will be on the Pancakes and Power Slam show in 2 weeks, episode 100. I'm very, very excited, and it's just going to be a great time. We got so much lined up. We got Wrestling Inc. endorsing episode 100. Talked to Wrestling Inc., the owner of Wrestling Inc., who I am very, very proud to write for, and Bleacher Report. There's some feature columnists that's going to be on board. That's going to be on the episode in episode 100, and we're just going to have a really, really good time. And like I said, it just so happens to fall on the same week as that Sunday being Elimination Chamber, so we're going to have a lot to talk about with that, and the launch of the WWE Network. And for those who do not know, both Hulk Hogan and The Undertaker are both confirmed to appear on the Raw after Elimination Chamber. So Raw is going to be action-packed for the launch of the WWE Network, so it's going to be so much to talk about. And we're going to be graced with Tyler Rex on the show as well. So we're just going to have so much fun. Two more weeks. Tell everyone. Pancakes and Power Slams. Yes, indeed. Pancakes and Power Slams is going to be it's a can't-miss show every week, but especially episode 100, can't-miss show. So much fun. Log in for trivia. There's going to be tons of trivia. We're going to have amazing time in episode 100. So let's get to Raw for episode 98, WWE Raw. Let's start off with a trivia question as we do always. The trivia question is, true or false, Kurt Angle appeared in the original ECW? True or false, Kurt Angle appeared on the original ECW? For those who listen every week, thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
We greatly appreciate our avid listeners.
Can I answer?
Just continuing. Not yet. And Derek does this every single week. We have been on air for 98 episodes, and Derek does the same thing every week. It's been almost 2 years.
Takes too long.
It's been almost 2 years, and Derek does the same thing. The proper format, as the many, many weekly listeners know, chat room or the Twitter at Crave Wrestling, you tweet or you say on the chat room, the Crave Wrestling administrative team also has the Facebook up live and running as well, so you can go on Facebook and put your answer as well. So we have Twitter, we have chat room, we have Facebook. Correct answer, and if the answer is not said within a specific time frame that I determine, then
it
up for Derek to answer. But here's the thing, Derek, two more weeks, stump the host. So you're going to have many, many, many opportunities to answer questions correctly. So we're going to have some fun. It's going to be a great time. Raw starts off with Big Show and Betty White coming out to the stage and talking to the crowd. I know this Betty White was promoting her show, and Betty White is one of those people that I want to meet. If I had actually someone I know asked me this question a couple months ago, if there's one person I'd want to meet right now, who would it be? And oddly enough, I said Betty White because she's up there in age. She's up there in age. And I loved the Golden Girls when I was a kid. And the Golden Girls has one of the best theme songs of all time. Has one of the best sitcom theme songs ever. Yes, thank you for being a friend. Travel down the road back in. Your heart is true. You're a pal and a confidant. And if you threw a party and invited everyone you knew, you would see the biggest gift would be for me and the card attached. Yes, okay. So you know that I am a big fan of Golden Girls by memorizing the theme song. And I was a big Betty White fan. She's been around for so long, and she still looks good for her age, you know, and she's in her 80s now. And
she's in her 90s.
Yeah, I would like to meet her. She's in her – Betty White?
She just turned 92. Yeah, she just turned 92.
Betty White. I thought she was in her late 80s.
Intern.
It was a big celebration
they had on TV about her. Betty White's 90th birthday again.
You're right. You're absolutely right. She was born in 1922, so she just turned 92 years old. Wow. 92 years old. That is absolutely amazing. You know what? Come to think about it, I do remember when she had her 90th. She was on some show a couple years ago. I think it was Kelly Ripa and Michael Strahan when they, you know, she was on their show. I think one of those morning shows. I'm sort of she was on Regis and Kathy Lee a bunch of times in the 80s when it was actually Regis and Kathy Lee. But, yeah, I think she was with Michael Strahan and Kelly Ripa, their morning show, or one of those morning shows, and she was celebrating her 90th birthday. So, I do recall. But, yeah, 92 years old, that's absolutely amazing. And She won a Guinness record for having the longest television career for a female entertainer. So that's absolutely amazing. So I would love to meet Betty White, absolutely. And I still don't, you know, she's got a new show coming out at 92 years old. That's very interesting. But, hey, man, you know, I know there's a lot of people who are in entertainment of that age that their livelihood, I mean, is really determined by just continuing to work and work and work. And when they find themselves idle, their health gets bad. And so I suppose that she's just deciding to continue to work. And I don't blame her whatsoever, but I still don't know exactly the point. I know that she's got a new show, but I really don't understand why the WWE wanted to promote it from what how she was involved on the show. It was a bit weird, but Big Show comes out, and after getting beat up by Lesnar on the Royal Rumble and being some mean Big Show again, he goes back to little cheesy Big Show and brings out Betty White, so that was his spot for Raw.
Yeah, that was a good spot. Not really. I was being sarcastic about being a good spot. I mean, Big Show, I mean, again, I can't look at him seriously anymore. I just can't see the hulking beast that he's supposed to be or should be. He's a soft, gentle giant. And the Betty White thing was great. Yeah, I like to see Betty White, so Yeah, but other than that, yeah, it was kind of silly. And then Triple H stares down Big Show. Is there going to be something between them in the coming months? Who knows?
No.
As long as Triple H is in charge, who knows? So I don't think there will be, but, I mean, what else is the Big Show going to do anymore than escort Betty White?
And that's a great question, actually, as far as what in the world is the Big Show going to do at WrestleMania? Is he even going to have a WrestleMania spot? Because they're not even building anything around him whatsoever. He has no spot at the Elimination Chamber. He's not in the chamber. And this is what I would have preferred, actually. There's no chance that Daniel Bryan's going to win the Elimination Chamber. There's no chance. He should. I mean, well, I think he should have won at Mania. But again, I say this every week, his character should be protected. He shouldn't lose much. The Yes Movement is the most organic, best reaction ever since what? And I mean, so basically within the past 15 years, that's the best reaction in WWE, period. And the gimmick, Daniel Bryan needs to be protected. I continue to say that, and I just... that will not be exhausted until it happens. Daniel Bryan needs to be protected. So him being in the Elimination Chamber match has no point. No point whatsoever. He's not going to win. It's not going to be Batista versus Daniel Bryan at WrestleMania. It's just not going to happen. And so what should happen is that Daniel Bryan wasn't in the Royal Rumble. You know, he tells... Big Show should be in the Elimination Chamber because he can be the big man. You know, he'll have a decent spot, and you know he's been a world champion before. You know, he can be a good filler for the Elimination Chamber. I'm fine with that. Daniel Bryan, since they're doing this thing with him and Kane, I really hope that this doesn't lead to WrestleMania, and basically. It's all but confirmed that Triple H and Daniel Bryan will be facing each other at WrestleMania, although we have reported on WrestlingInc.com that there are a very mild chance that Daniel Bryan may be inserted into the championship match and make it a triple threat, which I'd be totally fine with. But Daniel Bryan should go against Kane in Elimination Chamber. Get rid of this feud. Get rid of the Daniel Bryan and Kane thing. Just Elimination Chamber. Have Daniel Bryan beat Kane. And even do a stipulation. Kane is the director of operations. And if Daniel Bryan beats Kane, he gets to be in the world title match. You know, something to that nature. Have the Big Show be in the Elimination Chamber. There's no point of Daniel Bryan being in the chamber match.
No, and you don't know what's going to happen with Daniel Bryan. I agree with what you're saying about the Big Show being in there as a filler, but, I mean, there's nothing believable about the Big Show anymore. I don't know what to expect of this pay-per-view coming up. I think it might be a repeat of Royal Rumble or just be another stream of bad pay-per-views that they've had. So there's nothing going on with it, so...
Yeah, that's true. As far as where the Big Show may be at WrestleMania, you've got Ryback. Maybe Big Show Ryback. They had a decent match on Raw a few weeks back, but that would just be kind of pointless unless Ryback wins.
Well,
and even if Ryback wins, what does that mean? Well,
I don't want to see that. We've seen it before.
Well,
right back to joke.
I think the hype should have been around if Ryback could get Big Show and Shell Shocked, but he did on Raw, and that just kind of killed any type of hype behind their match. They just had a regular random match on Raw, and it just. Any hype that they could have had for a bigger stage, it just left. It was gone because they just had it on a regular Raw. And so Big Show Ryback really wouldn't do anything. I would be okay with Big Show versus Cesaro. just see, and I've said this on previous shows, I want to see Antonio Cesaro do a Cesaro swing on the big show. We've seen many other big people. We've seen Brodus Clay. We've seen Tensai. We've seen Great Khali get giant swings, but I would love to see a giant swing on the big show. Now, where does that leave the real Americans? So Cesaro probably wouldn't be in a singles match for WrestleMania. So Cesaro's out. Who else? Big Show, Kane. Who really wants to see that? That would just be pointless.
Back to the drawing
Big
board.
Big Show, Triple H. No, don't want to see that either. I mean, who was really an option?
Bring back Chris Masters or
Chris Masters.
What was that Australian guy that was there? A couple Nathan Jones. Bring
Nathan,
him back.
Oh wow, Nathan Jones, ladies and gentlemen, that is.
Oh wow, I pulled that
up. Whoa, Nathan Jones. He was supposed to have a WrestleMania spot teaming up with The Undertaker, and his work was so subpar that The Undertaker ended up having a – that was probably The Undertaker's worst WrestleMania opponents. It was the Big Show and – Albert at the time. He wasn't Prince Albert. He was just really, really weird. Actually, he was A-Train at the time, if I'm not mistaken. He was A-Train at the time. It was WrestleMania 19, 10 years ago, 2004. Nathan Jones was around, and for some reason they decided to have, and we'll talk about this later, we'll talk about a little bit more when we get to WrestleMania 19 Flair of the Week, but they were supposed to have Nathan Jones team up with The Undertaker, and this first tag team match, which was absolutely a horrible idea from the very beginning. Although it was a handicap match, so he went against A-Train and the Big Show, which was still a bad idea. At least Nathan Jones wasn't teaming up with The Undertaker, because I have no idea why they even thought about having a tag team match with The Undertaker involved at WrestleMania. That would have been just absolutely horrible. But we'll get more into WrestleMania 19 further down the road when we talk about the flavor of the week. But WrestleMania 5 and 6 tonight. All right, let's go further into the Raw. We got a correct answer, and the answer is true. Kurt Angle did indeed make an appearance on the original ECW. He talked to Taz, and this is when he was the Olympic, when he won the Olympics back in the mid-90s.
Is that confirmed?
1996, it's one actually. What's that?
Is that confirmed?
Is that confirmed that Kurt Angle was in ECW?
I'm not saying it's wrong. I'm just thinking, I remember when Kurt Angle was really upset with an angle they did, and he said, if you ever put my image or copyright or anything in your archives, I'll sue you.
Yeah, but he actually he appeared once
he
in
was
the
with ECW. I remember that.
It wasn't wrestling related. He came in and he talked to Taz and on the original ECW he cut a promo, and actually I can put it on the Crave Wrestling Facebook page tomorrow that Kurt Angle promo that he cut.
You don't have to rub it in or anything. I was just saying.
He made an appearance. Yeah, he made an appearance, though. The correct answer is true. But as far as Raw is concerned, Randy Orton comes out and whines and moans like he does every week and then he apologizes and says that he, you know, is the face of WWE. Daniel Bryan comes out, and then Kane comes out, and they kind of do their own scuffle. Then we had the Wyatt family defeating Rey Mysterio, Goldust, and Cody Rhodes. That was a good match. I'd imagine that was a good match. At this point, it seems like they're just putting three people together to lose against either the Wyatt family or the Shield. We've seen that the past couple weeks. I mean, I guess we're almost promised to get good matches. However, I mean, we know who's going to win. But I tell you what, though, that last spot when Bray Wyatt snuck in and grabbed Rey Mysterio when he was about to do the 619 and did the Sister Abigail, that was a really, really good spot. It was an amazing spot, and I was very, very impressed. I actually said wow to that moment in the middle of it, and because it was really, really good. So definitely kudos to Bray Wyatt for that spot.
Yeah, it was a great spot. I agree with that. And, you know, it's kind of like, what are they going to do with the Shield and the Wyatt? Somebody's got to lose to them. But, you know, almost the Shield themselves are kind of imploding. And so that's kind of interesting to see what's going to come on with the – I mean, they've almost been around for a year now, I believe. And they've been a tight faction, but there's –
been a year and almost a year and 3 months, actually. Survivor Series of 2012.
So they've been prominent. So you know something's going to happen. I mean, the writing's on the wall. You see that. And with the Wyatts, to me they're still kind of a stalemate. But what was the next match? It was a pretty good match.
It was not Fandango defeating Santino Marella. I like this Emma thing with Santino. I think they make a very good pair. I think it's a good way to call up Emma from NXT. That's a good way to put her on the main roster. Her dance is hilarious. She's a good wrestler, too. She had a really good match against Natalya on NXT not too long ago, probably about a month or so ago. But she's good, and I'm glad they called her up to the main roster, and she's funny. The signs are funny. The dance is funny. I just don't understand why you bring her up, you got this momentum going by, and then you have Fandango win. Fandango is just, I know that's your boy, but he's boring. He's yesterday's news is not even accurate. Jericho put him over. Jericho put everyone over, so that really didn't mean much at Royal. I can't believe that Jericho decided to put him over at WrestleMania, if anything. And that match wasn't even – that match was almost an embarrassment. Their match the month after at Extreme Rules when Jericho won, that was a better match. But that match at WrestleMania, you can tell that Fandango had the jitters. It was just a bad idea, and it did absolutely nothing for Fandango. He was kind of in the Intercontinental title scene for a second in the summertime last year, but other than that, just nothing. And he's just a mid-carder, and I continue to say this, and it continues to ring true. He is the modern-day Val Venus. But I would actually say that Val Venus was achieved more than Fandango. At least Val Venus was European champion. He was tag team champion, and you know he had some good feuds with The Rock for a hot second and Mick Foley. At least he achieved that much. So, but Fandango is not even. I would give Fandango a unique. He's the unique blend of Val Venus and Disco Inferno to me. But he's worse.
That's
than
a lot to be proud of.
Well, sure. I don't know in whose world, but. But at least, like I said, at least Val Venus was European. He's Intercontinental Champion, too. European, Intercontinental Champion, Tag Team Champion. At least he won some decent, you know, mid-card titles. But I don't see Fandango winning any championship ever. And And Disco Inferno, if I'm not, he was tag team champion and he was television champion too. So that's my comparison. He's a blend between those two, but worse.
Yeah, well, you know what? The sad part is I was looking at the wrong notes. And so I was thinking of Swagger and Christian match from last Monday Night Raw, but the interns had it was wrong. So, but yeah, that was not a good example of Fandango. I've been put in my place. Back to you, Chris.
you can't dispute it though. I mean, he's just.
I like the Val Venus, you know, and Disco Inferno thing. I mean, that's a lot to be proud of. But yeah, Fandango.
Sure,
he's my boy. I still like him.
No, man,
that's my boy.
There's nothing. There's nothing in Fandango that.
Yeah,
I mean, he's a good wrestler.
He could have been so much more, dog. I really think he could have been. If he was a legitimate dancer, he'd come out, do the moonwalk, come back.
I highly doubt it. I think his music has always been more over than he is. But here's the thing. Here's the thing with that.
He could be a young Michael Sandel if he tried.
Sure, yeah. Where are we going to have a New Age Varsity Club or U.S. Express with Mike Rotunda or IRS?
Hey, Street Posse.
Oh, wow. No. The Mean Street Posse. Fandango having a Mean Street Posse type look would be so hilarious. It would be embarrassing and hilarious at the same time. There's just no spot for him. He just has no spot. He's just a filler. He's a jobber. And I'm still trying to figure out why the WWE is continuing to have him win matches. I mean, the past 1 or 2 months, he has a better win-loss record than Dolph Ziggler. And Dolph Ziggler is a two-time World Heavyweight Champion. And that's saying something really bad, actually. So, I don't know. Fandango is not of any type of worth. I don't see him doing much of anything substantial in the near future. Speaking of Dolph Ziggler, he loses to Alberto Del Rio in very easy fashion. He was basically just pawned to set up the segment between Batista and Alberto Del Rio. Honestly, still not on. I am off the Batista wagon. I just am. I was excited to see him back. The anticipation was good, but I'm off the Batista wagon. I think the majority of the WWE universe is as well. They just. He's just. It was one of those things that. The thrill was more in the imagination than what actually happened. And Batista in modern day WWE is just a no-no. He doesn't fit. He's not over. And he probably would work if he turns heel, because 4 years ago when he had his heel run, it was gold. Batista as a heel was amazing. When he came out in the spotlight instead of doing the bazookas with the fireworks, it would just be a spotlight. It worked. I think some of his best moments, some of his best days, some of the best character development was when he was a heel. But nowadays, Batista's a face. No, it's not working. And like I said before on last show, WrestleMania 30, you don't want the biggest pay-per-view in WrestleMania history in Nolens be booed with the champion and the challenger. It's going to be a snooze fest. It's going to be a bore. And if that match stays intact of just them two, if that main event's WrestleMania 30, That would be one of the biggest letdowns in WrestleMania history, bar none.
They might as well just air WrestleMania 9 again and save us all the trouble. At least you have Bret Hart and Hogan and Yokozuna. So,
yeah.
Exactly. Disgusting. That cannot be the headliner. I wouldn't even be a good headliner for Night of Champions.
That's true. That's a very good point. I think you've got a really good point there. I wouldn't even be intrigued if that was headlining
SmackDown
a minor pay-per-view. Yeah, I mean, if that was headlining SmackDown or a minor pay-per-view like Payback or Extreme Rules or something to that nature, I still, you know, Battleground, I still wouldn't be intrigued, honestly. And I'm not interested. I'm not interested in Batista versus Randy Orton. And to be honest with you, I'm not really interested in Batista, period. This Batista and Alberto Del Rio match, I kind of saw it coming. I wrote an article about it, Bleach Report, that I didn't want to see this feud. But Alberto Del Rio is just a pawn to making Batista look more impressive and over. I'm just not buying it. I'm not interested. And he's starting to get boos. And it wasn't just the smart, heavy crowd back in the Pittsburgh crowd from the Royal Rumble that, you know, booed him almost out the arena. Week after week after week, people still boo Batista because he's just a shell of who he used to be as far as popularity is concerned. They brought him over because he's a fledgling actor, and they're trying to get that crossover effect like they did The Rock. No, it's not going to happen, and it won't happen. So, you know, he signed a 2-year contract. You know, he's supposed to be there for 2 years, but that just seems like an eternity to me when it comes to Batista. It's just not going to work out for him. I can see him leaving before 2 years is up because he just realized he just realized that this run just wasn't as exciting as he thought it was going to be. So, and him being a champion, oh man, it just seems like we're going to get some really bad television coming after WrestleMania because it just seems like he's going to be champion, and he's not over, he's not money. Daniel Bryan's more money than he is. Daniel Bryan's a moneymaker. Batista is a failed attempt to cross over.
Oh, geez. Failed attempt. Batista, I don't even want to really see him. He's not that interesting. He's not interesting. I never thought he was. This is dismal. Come on, WWE.
Yeah.
Dismal. This is gross.
Yeah, I agree. Next, we had Triple H talking to Batista and announcing the match at Elimination Chamber, which I said I knew that was going to happen. Usos defeating Ryback. Great match here. That spot at the end where one of the Usos jumped out and tagged the other, that was a really, really nice spot. Yeah, that was a really, really nice spot. So the Usos are really, really making a come up, and kudos to the Usos. And they're my favorite team now. They were my favorite team before the Rose Brothers, but the WWE is just—they're just misusing the Rose Brothers so much that it's a travesty.
Yeah, it's a travesty. I mean, Ryback, so, I mean, that's getting old. That's boring. And I think we're both bored of Ryback and Curtis Axel. The Usos, they bring a little bit of excitement to the mix. I wasn't that sold on them, but you know, you kind of talked me into it over time. So, but the Team Rhodes, come on. They have they have to wrestle the Usos. I mean, that's what's going to be natural. That's what's going to make it great. They're going to make a run for the tag team championships against the New Age Outlaws. So, and there's going
and
to be some
win.
Good things coming up if they should win. But there's going to be some good things coming
they
out
should
of the
win.
Tag team division.
The Usos should win. They should beat the New Age Outlaws.
They should. But,
they don't even know. They don't even know if they're face or heel. Let them figure out if they're face or heel first, and then you know, and then come around and become a tag team again. I'm still very shocked. I'm still very shocked that the WWE decided to let them be a full-time tag team. And not only that,
they can still do it.
Win the tag team titles. Wow.
Well, yeah, but that's not so bad.
It
could be worse.
Well, Road Dogg, he's only 44. He'll be 45 this year in a couple of months. Well, a few months. I think May. He'll be 45. So that's not too bad. You know, that's not too bad. But they're so 15 years ago, though. I mean, the Road Dogg was relevant when he was in his late 20s and mid-30s for Billy Gunn, early to mid-30s for Billy Gunn. The Billy Gunn's 50 years old now, and he's still in good shape, great shape for 50. But, I mean, for being out for that long and never being a big name, like, for instance,
what's
Sting
best
for
business?
It's totally not best for business.
Yeah, it's good.
And
I like it. I'm enjoying it while it happens. You don't see that too often, so I'm enjoying it.
Well, let me ask you this. How long does it take for New Age Outlaws, this whole nostalgia train to stop and park for good?
When the new superstars can step up and up their game. Ooh.
So when is that? I mean,
I don't know. It's not going to last that long. Maybe WrestleMania. Like, I think after WrestleMania, WWE is going to have to go in a whole new direction. They're going to have to really figure out a whole new game plan because there's so much. There's things that are building now with the nostalgia and, you know, what are they going to do with Brock Lesnar after so long? Batista. They need to make a new blueprint of what's going to happen and make 2014 a success because everything they're doing is getting old. I don't think many people are going to put up with it anymore. So,
yeah.
I enjoy the nostalgia thing because it's going to be probably the last time you ever see this nostalgic kick. Because, I mean, 5 years from now, they're all going to be really old and unbelievable. So it's.
I know that you're an Attitude Era guy, and I know that this is fantastic to you.
Yeah, it is, but it isn't. It's kind of like that makes me feel old now, but to see these guys go out one more time and do it. They're shadows of what they used to be, but it's a good
I
get tired of seeing Swagger and Bryant and John Cena all the time. It's fun to see somebody that brought a smile to my face.
Yeah, I mean, and I can understand that. But the whole ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages,
they're heels.
So do you want to hear that every week? And then for two, why are they still continuing to make face just anything related to a baby face or, you know, are they faces? Are they heels? Are they just... you know, just nostalgia, just strictly nostalgia, and this nostalgia high is going to go out. It's going to just whist away. And I will give you that timeline. After WrestleMania, no more New Age Outlaws, and I'm totally fine with that. And I'm fine with them not being around now, but... and maybe if they were around sporadically and they didn't just win the tag team titles and they're there every week and they're full-time, they're the representation of the tag team division in 2014, that's not a good thing for them to be the top team. I mean, come on now. You've got the Rhodes Brothers. You've got the Usos. You've got the Wyatt family. You've got the Shield. You've got the Real Americans. I just named five legitimate tag teams that should be tag team champions over them. But they give it to them, and this is what we'll get until, I'm sure, at least until WrestleMania. So I guess for those Attitude Era fans like Derek,
we need to reunite.
You know, it's good for y'all. But I mean, I was around through the entire Attitude Era. I watched every episode of Raw during the Attitude Era. You know, it was a very unique moment in WWE history. I wasn't the hugest fan of the Attitude Era. I was a fan, but I wasn't. But I honestly think the Attitude Era was overrated, to be honest with you. I think Ruthless Aggression was better than Attitude Era. Ruthless Aggression, which was followed, you know, by the Lesnars and, you know, we'll keep this in context, but Chris Benoit, Kurt Angle, Brock Lesnar, Triple H still, The Rock, you know, still Austin, still the Ruthless Aggression early 2000s, and when The Rock and Austin was starting to fade out, just kind of passing the baton to the Ruthless Aggression era. Even John Cena in his early years, and Randy Orton, still the Undertaker, you know, but he had a biker gimmick. But I was a big fan of Ruthless Aggression. As far as the Attitude Era is concerned, it was unique. It was different. It was edgy, and I understand that. But I think it was overrated because let's think about it. You had Mark Marrow feuding with Sable. You had Goldust having a bunch of different dusts every year. He was the artist formerly known as Goldust, so he was Maryland Dust and Dusty Dust and Baby Dust and all of these dusts. He was probably in the worst, not probably, he was in the worst shape of his career. And you had the Headbangers, which to me, again, were overrated. You had just the Attitude Era minus, I mean, DX was a really good part of the Attitude Era. The Rock, the Corporation, that was really good. But undercard matches, usually in those pay-per-views, they weren't that good. you had Farouk and Ahmed Johnson. Ahmed Johnson was a flop. Ken Shamrock didn't go over as much as
he didn't go that well, but his matches were great. He was good for that.
Ken Shamrock is a great competitor. He's a great competitor. But he didn't go over as much as he was supposed to. Ahmed Johnson did not go over as much as he was supposed to, and I was a huge Ahmed Johnson fan in 97. And so, but unfortunately, he didn't go over as much as he was supposed to. You had Kama Mustafa, you know, the Nation of Domination, which was a good idea, but then The Rock led them, and you had Owen Hart and the Nation of Domination, Crush and the Nation of Domination. That kind of defeats Blackheart. The entire purpose. That was horrible. And then you have now you have the Shield and the Wyatt family as far as three-man tag teams. Back then you had Los Boricuas and the Disciples of Apocalypse. That was horrible, man. The DOA was horrible. Los Boricuas was even worse. You had the Oddities, which was horrible. So, I mean, we have to think about it, Derek. The Attitude Era was overrated. It wasn't as big and unique and amazing as people tout it to be. It was the Attitude Era was overrated, and it if people just really look at those cards from about 97 to 99, it wasn't as strong as people put it out to be. Main Event stuff was amazing, was really, 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 really amazing. DX was amazing. Rock, Austin, Triple H, blah, blah, blah. Main Event stuff, good. Undercard stuff, no, not so much. All right, next we have Mark Henry defeating Dean Ambrose, which was weird to me because they were announcing Mark Henry returning, and I think it took some of the excitement away from the mystery person, because how in the world can you say Mark Henry is going to return, but he's the mystery opponent for Dean Ambrose? He's not really a mystery opponent. They should have just advertised Mark Henry going against Dean Ambrose for the U.S. title. It was really weird to me how they did that. It just seems like they just want to strip any type of dignity or excitement away from Mark Henry's character, which I don't understand why, because his new look, he's impressive. People like him. He's over. But you announce him on one hand, and on the other hand, he's a mystery. So that was weird. And the end of the match, he continued to look ridiculous because he gets jumped by the Shield and speared by Roman Reigns. So I totally dislike what they're doing with Mark Henry right now. And speaking of Attitude Era, Mark Henry and Mae Young with the baby hand. Nah, that was not good.
What was wrong with that? That was beautiful. That was birth.
Giving birth to a baby hand was beautiful.
Yeah, that was gross.
Not so much.
Yeah, the Mark Henry thing kind of fits in with what we've been talking about, the Big Show. It's just they have these big, huge monsters, and they just turn out to be puppies. So, puppies, Attitude Era. But
That's another one, yeah.
So, Mark Henry just looks like a joke. So it's, again, and Big Show ought to be a tag team and call themselves the
Jokes
Doozers or something. Yeah, the Jokes.
Yeah.
I mean, really.
The Giant Losers.
Yeah.
It's horrible, man, because you have the two most dominant, other than Brock Lesnar, you have two of the most dominant, intimidating wrestlers in the WWE, Mark Henry and the Big Show, and they both look like jokes. I just totally dislike how they're booking both of them, especially Mark Henry. One more trivia question. Brock Lesnar debuted on the Raw after what pay-per-view? What exact, not the pay-per-view name, but the exact pay-per-view. So Brock Lesnar debuted after what pay-per-view? Next we had Cameron and the Bella Twins defeating AJ Lee, Oksana, and Alicia Fox. People know I'm a big Oksana fan, but I'm also a big Naomi fan. Unfortunately, Oksana cost Naomi a shot, and probably there was reports that Naomi was scheduled to win the Divas Championship, which I would have been a total fan of, especially because I've said many times it's time for AJ to drop the title. She's made it boring. But Oksana, with that knee strike that she had on Naomi, it was brutal, and she has to get eye surgery, reportedly. So that's unfortunate. She'll probably be out for a couple months. But I will say this, though. Cameron is starting to look better and better in the ring. I'm very impressed with Cameron's progression in the ring from when she was on Tough Enough a few years ago and said her favorite match was like Melina versus Alicia Fox or something weird, something oddly weird. And or was it? Yeah, I think it was like Melina. She just had a very weird decision that she just said because she probably just saw both of their pictures in the arena. So from that to the level of the progressive level that she is now, I'll give it to her. Cameron's definitely one of the most progressive divas on the roster right now.
She's progressing, and I've never been a big fan of the Divas competition, so, well, as of lately, anyway. She's shown some promise. I'm still an AJ Lee kind of guy, thinking that overall body of work from the past year and a half, 2 years, so. But I do give props to Cameron, so I'll give you that much, Chris. Way to go.
Yeah, totally. Then we had Kane coming out to the ring to address his administrative leave. Daniel Bryan comes out, and they fight, and Kane retreats. Again, I'm trying to figure out what in the world are they doing with this. And I'm going to say this again, I really, really hope that we do not see Daniel Bryan versus Kane at WrestleMania. That would be a slap in the face of every single WWE wrestling fan.
Nobody wants to see that. I mean, give me a break. Daniel Bryan deserves so much more. You could spend almost 2 hours just discussing Daniel Bryan's situation in the WWE.
Yeah, that's true. Very true. The main event was John Cena defeating Randy Orton. It's funny that I received a tweet on Monday from a buddy of mine, and he kept saying, I hate this, I hate this, I hate this. He's not a fan of the Randy Orton treatment as WWE World Heavyweight Champion. And my response was an old Ric Flair quote, learn to love it because it's the best thing going today. Woo! And that's what my tweet was to respond to what that was. I will agree, I'm not a fan of the World Heavyweight Champion losing like that, but Randy Orton has already just sabotaged and tarnished the World Heavyweight Championship the past few months. And to say that he is the first ever WWE World Heavyweight Champion unifying the titles and to have a title run like this is proof that the WWE does not look at the titles the same, which is ridiculous. It's absolutely ridiculous not looking at the titles the same. Looks like we're having some difficulties. Derek, are you there? Derek, are you there? All right. It looks like we're having some difficulty with Derek on the line. but, yeah, John Cena and Randy Orton, they've had a really, really good rivalry for a long time. And they've put on some really good matches, but this match was no different. I mean, it was a good match. They had some good spots, and I've said before on previous shows that the WWE that I really like matches where the wrestlers use each other's finishing move and. They did that, and it worked, and they kicked out of it, and it just really it showed just the resilience of each person. But what does that really say, though? Does that say at the end, does that really say that Randy Orton isn't as over as John Cena and Daniel Bryan? Which is true, but I think the WWE is just kind of putting it in our face and just kind of showing us that, hey, Randy Orton is the WWE World Heavyweight Champion. However, he's not a bigger name than John Cena and Daniel Bryan right now. And watching wrestling for all of my life, I could have sworn that the world champion should be the biggest name of the company. Now, they kind of did something different with the World Heavyweight Championship. It was kind of more of a B championship. However, if they're going to, I would rather for them to give, to split the titles and to have it to a rising star like a Big E Langston, or even have Mark Henry win it again, or push Damian Sandow, or even Dolph Ziggler, someone like that, or even when Ryback was over at one point in time. Put the titles on one of those people, because they can say that, hey, I've been a former World Heavyweight Champion. But now you have both of the titles unified, and you have it on Randy Orton, who is the champion, supposed to be the face of the company, supposed to be the top name. But, of course, he was going to beat Christian on SmackDown, which he did. But And he's going against Antonio Cesaro on this SmackDown, which I'm very positive that he'll beat him as well. But like I said, the WWE showed us that although Randy Orton is the World Heavyweight Champion, he's not a bigger name than Daniel Bryan and John Cena, which kind of defeats the purpose of him being WWE World Heavyweight Champion in the first place.
Hey, he's an absolute paper champion. He's a disgrace to that belt. I mean, I'm sorry. Nobody wants to see Randy Orton hold that title. Nobody wants to see him in the picture of it. He's a mid-carder at best. He has not ever proved his worth and his value in that company. And to make him a main event of WrestleMania or any pay-per-view, I mean, he just hasn't shown it. Not that he can't, but I'm not convinced. Yeah.
And can you believe that he's an 11-time World Heavyweight Champion?
No, 11-time. That shows you how much prestige that belt has lost. I mean, it just...
11 times. He's an 8-time WWE Champion. He's a 3-time World Heavyweight Champion. He's had 11 world title reigns, and it's amazing to and I thought about that last night. Okay, John Cena's been world champion for 14 times, 11 WWE title reigns, and 3 World Heavyweight Championship reigns. Now, the past dozen years, John Cena has been the guy. I mean, he started in 2002. I would say he started to be the guy around 2005, 2006. So at least a good solid 8 years, he's been the guy of the WWE. So 14 title reigns in 8 years, you know, you got about 2 a year or so, you know, I suppose on average, that's okay. But
Bob Orton must know something about Vince McMahon that he doesn't want the public to know. That's
that,
the only thing
that's what's one, junior or senior or both, maybe probably both of them. But I tell you what, man, I looked at John Cena's career the past 8 or 9 years, and I said, you know what, okay, as much as I'm not a John Cena fan, I give the guy mad respect. He's a WWE guy. Vince McMahon built him from the ground up and made the John Cena brand the biggest thing in WWE the past decade, period. However, Randy Orton debuted 2 months before John Cena. I look at John Cena, I think of big name, main eventer, man of the decade, multiple-time champion, good feuds with, you name it. Edge, Batista, Randy Orton, you know, I mean, the list goes on. Chris Jericho, Triple H, the list goes on as far as, you know, debuts, good feuds that he's had. With Randy Orton, though, he's had a good feud here and there, but I can't say that Randy Orton's career has paralleled John Cena, and they started around almost the exact same time, just a two-month difference. And I can't say that their careers have paralleled. Randy Orton, John Cena's that big name. He's that marquee name. Randy Orton is not a marquee name. And he's won 11 world titles. But still, to me, not a marquee name. And I don't know what it is. I don't. Maybe he got eclipsed by John Cena. For them to be there at the exact same time, just about, for a dozen years, and for Randy Orton to not ring big name to me, marquee name, and John Cena just leaps and bounds marquee name over Randy Orton, I'm kind of lost to know what it is or why Randy Orton isn't as a big name as John Cena, and he's achieved just as much. He's achieved almost the same accolades as John Cena, only three reign difference in world titles. They both have won Money in the Bank. They both have won the Royal Rumble. John Cena's won twice. I mean, but John Cena's leaps and bounds over Randy Orton, and that's coming from someone who's not a John Cena fan. But you got to call a spade a spade. John Cena is a way bigger name than Randy Orton. So what is it about Orton that just doesn't ring big name the past decade?
Everything that you just mentioned. That is, some people have it, some don't. John Cena, I'm not a John Cena fan, but he has charisma. People can get behind him. Not being a John Cena fan, there have been times where I've gotten behind him, like, okay, I'm behind this character. I believe his story. But I could never say that about Randy Orton. I just can't. Don't think I ever will be able to, just because he's lame. He is lame. He's a boring personality.
His charisma is very, very lackluster. All right, I wrote a really good SmackDown debut that had a ton of hits and like 100-something comments on wrestling.com, because I posed a really good question that we talked about on last week's show. Should Christian be in the Hall of Fame? And so check that out on wrestling.com. The majority did say that Christian should be in the Hall of Fame. I think he should be. But I think, like I said, the bigger question is, will he be? I don't know. He should be in the Hall of Fame. There's no doubt in my mind that Christian should be in the Hall of Fame. Two-time world heavyweight champion, multiple-time intercontinental champion. I think he should be. And you're right. It's not saying that he will be in the next couple years, but I don't know. He should be, but WWE is not.
On episode 826, we will be talking about pancakes and power slams, Christian being in the Hall of Fame.
I'll take your word for that, and I hope that we will be talking about Christian being in the Hall of Fame, because he deserves it. Impact Wrestling, Abyss defeating Eric Young. The MVP speaking in the ring, interrupted by Rockstar Spud, and MVP schedules a match between Angle and Magnus. Curry Man comes to the ring. He just pops up every now and then. Interrupted by Bully Ray, who pile drives him through and puts him in a coffin. Austin Aries in-ring promo. The bromance distract Aries and Dima Ion. He's finally someone
cashes in their briefcase, and but he lost, though, so that really didn't mean much. Kurt Angle defeats Madness by disqualification as a result of EC3 actually growing a pair, so to speak, and not being a Magnus lackey and attacking Angle. I'm not too big on that feud, but at least it gives EC3 someone to work with that can really hone his character. Samoa Joe defeats Bobby Roode, and MVP and Dixie Carter summit, which is pretty interesting. All right, and then we won't have enough time to mention this week's ROH, but I will say that we ran out of time last week, but I will mention last week's ROH episode was Nashville, Tennessee, Nashville Fairgrounds, and AJ Styles, returned to ROH and defeated Roderick Strong. And y'all should, all the listeners who don't really follow ROH or watch it sporadically, YouTube that Styles clash that he did to Roderick Strong. That was pretty sick. That was the botch, and Roderick Strong's neck was not supposed to be the way that it was. It was a good match, but that Styles clash didn't go as expected. All right, flavor of the week. And yes, great job, WrestleMania 18. He debuted after after WrestleMania 18 during the hardcore match. And he just laid out Al Snow and Maven and Spike Dudley. So laid him out. Totally laid him out. All right, flavor of the week, WrestleMania 5 and 6. WrestleMania 5 was the Mega Powers Explode. As we talked about last week, WrestleMania 4, Randy Savage defeats Ted DiBiase in the finals to win his first WWE Championship. And for some reason, Macho Man Randy Savage was getting jealous of the relationship between Hulk Hogan and Elizabeth. And because of his jealousy of Hulk Hogan and Elizabeth, the Mega Powers exploded, which led to a match between Hulk Hogan and Randy Savage at WrestleMania 5. Also on the card, Hercules defeated Haku. The Twin Towers defeated the Rockers. Beefcake and Ted DiBiase fought to a double countout. The Bushwhackers defeated the Fabulous Rougeos. Mr. Perfect defeated the Blue Blazer. Demolition defeated the Powers of Pain. Dino Bravo defeated Ronnie Garvin. Brainbusters defeated Strike Force. Jake Roberts defeated Andre the Giant by disqualification. I think that was a really, really good build between. That was a great feud to me between Jake Roberts and Andre the Giant. Big old Andre the Giant and his kryptonite, so to speak, were snakes. Yeah.
That was great. That was such a great build.
It was a great feud and great build. Hart Foundation defeats Honky Tonk Man and Greg Valentine, the Dream Team. Rick Rude defeats Ultimate Warrior. He wins the Intercontinental Championship. Jim Duggan and Bad News Brown.
Dugan.
They fight to a double disqualification. Red Rooster and Bobby Heenan. That was the next to last match. That was quite odd to be the next to last match of the card.
Yeah.
It was like, it lasted less than a minute, if I recall. It was like 30 seconds. But Bobby Heenan was with the Brooklyn Brawler and the Red Rooster. I remember when Heenan was with, well, Heenan just kind of sabotaged, he just kind of sabotaged Terry Taylor. And Terry Taylor was a heel for a second, and he just really bashed him really bad, and Here Comes the Red Rooster, and he feuds with Bobby Heenan. And there you go. And then, of course, we got Hulk Hogan defeating Randy Savage to win another WWE championship.
Oh, WrestleMania 5 was awesome. I mean, it was great card. Did you mention the Morton Downey Jr. when he was with the Roddy Piper? I mean, that
Piper.
Was spectacular. Piper's pit was absolutely beautiful that year. He kept blowing smoke in Piper's face, and he took the fire extinguisher. I mean, that stood out to me when I watched that card. All the other matches were great. Again, you had Mr. Perfect, which was kind of his debut, not too much, but his first pay-per-view debut. Beautiful against the Blue Blazer. And you had Run DMC come out with the WrestleMania rap. I mean, there was just so much going on with that WrestleMania. And it was at Caesar's Palace. Donald Trump was there. I mean, it was a mecca for the time. It was 1989, so it was something, it held its own. It really did. Coming between WrestleMania 4 and WrestleMania 6. WrestleMania 6 is a whole different story. WrestleMania 4, again, I think, is the last of the original WWE brand of the 80s, rock and wrestling. But it really held up to its own. Macho Man and Hogan gave out a spectacular performance.
Great, great, great analysis, absolutely. And then we get to the WrestleMania 6. Champion versus champion, the Intercontinental Champion, the Ultimate Warrior, as Vince McMahon would say. And then Hulk Hogan, the WWE Champion. Wow, what an amazing anticipated match. Those were the two biggest names in wrestling at the time, and just larger-than-life gimmicks, larger-than-life names. Just what an amazing build for that. And it was two baby faces going against each other, too. And as a kid, I was like, whoa, you know, is that even possible? You know, I was so into kayfabe at the moment. I was, you know, and it was like, you know, I was just thinking in my head, is it possible for two good guys to go against each other? And they just, it was an amazing build to have Warrior and Hogan go against each other. And Hogan, of course, was established. The Ultimate Warrior at the time was just climbing further and further and further up the ladder. He was the most electrifying person in the entire Federation, starting to eclipse the popularity of Hulk Hogan. They originally wanted to pass the baton, but that didn't work out too well. Also on the card, we saw Rick Martel defeating Coco Beware, Demolition defeating the Colossal Connection to gain the WWE Tag Team Championships. Earthquake defeating Hercules. Hercules doesn't win too many WrestleMania matches. Brutus Beefcake defeating Mr. Perfect. I remember that match. I was so surprised that Beefcake beat Perfect. He beat him cleanly. Roddy Piper and Brad News Brown fought to a double count out. That was a very intense feud back then. I remember
that was a weird
time
feud.
When Piper painted half of his body black or brown, and there was a story that they used the wrong paint and he couldn't get it off for days. The Hart Foundation defeated. Yeah, that was pretty hilarious. The Hart Foundation defeats the Bolsheviks. Barbarian defeated Tito Santana. Dusty Rhodes and Sasha defeated Randy Savage and Sensational Sherry in a mixed tag team match. And Elizabeth was with Dusty Rhodes and Sapphire. I remember she tried to dance at the end, and it didn't go too well.
Yeah, let's forget about it.
Yeah. The Orient Express defeated the Rockers by countout. Dugan defeated Dino Bravo. Ted DiBiase defeated Jake Roberts by countout. And interestingly enough, that match was for the Million Dollar Championship. The Big Boss Man defeated Akeem, the breakup of the Twin Towers prior to WrestleMania. Ravishing Rick Rude defeats Jimmy Snuka, and then, of course, we remember the Ultimate Warrior defeating Hulk Hogan in one of the biggest build matches of all time, and just an amazing, amazing build for that match. And Ultimate Warrior, surprisingly, he pulled it out. I remember that I was, back in 90, I was going for the Ultimate Warrior. I was a big Hogan fan, but I wanted the Ultimate Warrior to win that match.
Yeah, overall WrestleMania 6 was probably one of the best overall WrestleManias as far as just match to match. He remembered it. It was comical. The guests they had that year, Steve Allen, when the Bolsheviks are in the bathroom for the acoustics,
yeah,
and he's playing the piano and someone flushed the toilet. And I mean, it was, I remembered all that so vividly, and it, the whole thing was just such a great pay-per-view, such awesome WrestleMania. The build-up was great, and was that the year you had a honky love?
WrestleMania honka, honka, burning love.
Yeah, with the Rhythm and Blues. I mean, it was just the whole show was just from start to ending. It was great. And the main event didn't disappoint. I was a Hogan fan. I had the Hogan Wrestling Buddy, and my buddy had the Ultimate Warrior Wrestling Buddy. It was like the playground was split between Ultimate Warrior and Hulk Hogan fans.
Yeah.
And it was a time that I, you know, wrestling fans will never see again.
I remember riding my school bus after WrestleMania, WrestleMania 6, and just about the entire ride to school, we were talking about WrestleMania 6, and we were talking about Ultimate Warrior winning, and I was just so elated, and it was great, just great era of wrestling, just amazing, amazing era of wrestling, where people just, wrestling was such a popular thing that just people had to tune into it. And so maybe one of these days wrestling will return then, but it will return to that state, but we have to take what we get right now. So fantastic show, as always, 98 episodes down, and we will just continue to thrive and be the best show on Tuesday nights, Pancakes and Power Slams. Follow me at Crave Wrestling, Pancakes and Power Slams, and we will just continue to give great updates about episode 100. Bleacher Report, check out my articles there on Bleacher Reports. You had something to say, Derek?
Yeah, I just said I can't wait for the 100th episode. This is
It's going to be
phenomenal.
Amazing,
let's keep going. Pancakes
episode.
And Power Slams is where you need to be Tuesday night.
Yes, the Tuesday night, delight. We are the new Tuesday night Titans. Facebook at
exactly.
Facebook Crave Wrestling. Go and like the page. Lots of trivia. Lots of fun. I think I even may, right after the show, put up that Kurt Angle and Taz segment there on ECW. So check that out. I'm just so elated and so thankful for everyone just continuing to support Pancakes and Power Slams. 98 episodes. The vision that I had a couple years ago has not only surpassed my expectations, but has gotten so much better. It's just surpassed it so much, and just people talk about Pancakes and Power Slams. I just was talking to someone at the gym last week, and they said, "Oh yeah, Pancakes and Power Slams." Never seen them, so it's spreading. So tell your friends about Pancakes and Power Slams. And until next week, enjoy your week of wrestling, and God bless. Goodbye.